we're holding on Tzadik Zion, Amud Aleph, sixth line. We're in the middle of discussing various issues involving wine. The last thing we were talking about is the concept of temed, where you have dregs of wine that then you when you poured water on it, with the idea that the water will absorb some of the color and some of the flavor of the wine that's left over in the dregs, and what percentage of wine do you have to have in there in order for it? What percentage do you have to have of the original, of the actual wine solids in there for it to be considered wine lahalacha? So we said if you put three measures of water in, and then after you made the temed, you have four, then for sure it's considered good wine, because it means that you have a full, means that you have at least one full unit of wine that came out of the dregs into that. We said if you only got back a half a measure, then you have a machlokes of the chachamim and achirim, whether that works or not. And we talked about how that is in terms of percentages. And then if you put in three and got back exactly three, then everybody's going to agree that that's nothing, that even if it has a flavor of wine, it's still considered just, as the Gemara, as we finished off yesterday, kiuha ba'al mahu. It's just like a sharpness of taste, and not really considered wine then still. So you wouldn't make a gofen on it, and it wouldn't have any of the other dinim of wine. It's actually not the sixth line, but the ninth line, because we learned yesterday that last piece where Rav Nachman Yitzchok had asked Rav Chiya Ba'oven about that din, and he says that it would only be considered kiyuha ba'alma. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, shmorim shot truma. If you have dregs of wine of truma, and now you poured water over them, and you made to make temed. Now, sometimes what you would actually do is you'd pour some water onto the dregs, and again, you know, you'd let it sit for a while, and eventually it would get some of the flavor, and some of the wine that's in the dregs would come out into the water, and you'd have that. So then you'd draw off that water, and you'd have yourself a kind of dilute wine. Sometimes you would do that again and again. Sometimes you could do that several times, because even after the first time, there would still be a certain amount of wine that you could get out of, a certain amount of grape juice that you could get out of the dregs. So now, shmarim shel truma, rishon v'sheni. So now, the first time and the second time, the osir would be osir for a zor to drink, because it would still be considered truma, because there's enough wine still in the dregs. That wine itself, of course, is truma. And so now it would be also for Zorim. Now the Rashbam learns that we're talking about even where you only got back exactly as much as you put in. We talked about yesterday where if you only got back exactly as much as you put in, then it would be considered, we said it wouldn't be considered wine. But now we're saying, nevertheless, Midrabanan, we would actually consider it wine, even though all you're getting back is as much as you put in. Meaning, in other words, you didn't really get very much wine. Out of there at all, but nevertheless, Midrabanan, we're going to say, since it has the color and the flavor of wine that it got from the dregs, then therefore we're going to consider it, we're still going to consider it wine, because of the chumrah of truma. So that's how the Rashbam learns, but Tosfos learns that we may be talking about, but no, we're talking about you didn't get three, but at least you got three and a half. You got something extra out of what you put in. Anyway, shlishi mutter, but the third one already, if you try to make temen out of it a third time, then already at that point, whatever you get out of it into the water is not really going to be wine anymore at that point. Pretty much all the wine that was in the dregs has gone out at this point. Really, all you have is a flavor, and therefore that would be mutter for zorim. Reb Meir Omer, shlishi genos in tam. Reb Meir says even the third time you still have to see, does it have a flavor? If it does, then that means there's still enough of the iser in it that then it would be also for zorin. Now that's all when it comes to truma, continues the Braisa. Shel meiser, when it comes to meiser sheni, rishon oser, sheni mutter. Then we're more mekel, because after all, meiser sheni is not also for Zorim. Meiser Sheni has its own rules in terms of eating it in Yerushalayim, and then you have to eat it Batara, and so, well, Truma, you also have to eat Batara. And Meiser, you can't eat, well, Meiser, a person can't eat when he's an Onan. Truma, he could, but basically, Meiser, Rashbam points out, by the way, when we say Shel Meiser Rishon Oser, you don't mean Meiser Rishon over here, because Meiser Rishon is essentially chulin. You have to designate it for the Levi, and the Levi has to designate Trumas Meiser out of it for the Kohen, but other than that, there's no restrictions on who can eat Meiser Rishon. So the word Rishon over here belongs to the next part of the sentence. The Shel Meiser, when it comes from Meiser, which is to say Meiser Sheni, then Rishon Oser, the first time that you're putting water on it, then it would be Oser, meaning that it would be Oser to eat outside your Shalayim and have all the other rules. Sheni mutter, but already the second one would be mutter, unlike by truma, where we said that the second one would still be osir. Rameyer omaf sheni benos in tam, and Rameyer again is machner, and says that even by the second one, you still have to see, does it still have a flavor of wine, and if it does, then it would be osir to eat as non-meiser sheni. You would have to eat, in other words, with the rules of meiser sheni, only in your shalayim, and only when you're tohor, and only when a person is not an onan, and so on and so forth. Vishal Hektish. Now, a third possibility, the Braisa says, the dregs that we're talking about over here could be Hektish. So then we have to be Machmer, even more than Truma, Shlishi Osir Urvi Mutter. Then even the third one would be Osir, only the fourth one would be Mutter. Rameyer Omer after Rvi Benos and Tam, and Rameyer says that even the fourth one, you'd also have to look at whether it has a flavor. So in short, according to this Braisa, with Meiser Sheni, according to the Chachamim, the second one is Mutter, even if it has a flavor of wine, with Truma the third one, and with Hektish the fourth one, and according to Meir, it would be respectively third, fourth, and fifth would be Mutter, by those. So again, the Rashbam had said to begin with that we're talking about over here, all of these are, even if he got back only exactly as much water as he put in, so he put in three measures of water, got out three measures afterwards, nevertheless, by Truma and by Meiser and by Hektish, we're going to be Machmir than more than we did before. Midirabbanan, and Tosfa says that, And then Tosfos says that we're talking about that it doesn't really matter how much you got out. It's really more. Does it have an actual flavor of wine, or does it have kiwa ba'alma? Does it have, again, only like a little bit of the sharpness of wine? So by Hektish, nevertheless, we're still going to be machmer to that extent. Tosfos also adds, by the way, it has to be that the dregs themselves were not specifically made Hektish, because otherwise, then it would be also no matter what, because no matter what, that it belongs to Hektish, and therefore anything that comes out of it would be osir. Anyway, so the Gemara says a Ramini. Now, though, I have a contradiction, because another Braisa says, Shel Hektish lo'olam osir, that by Hektish it's always going to be osir, as long as it has any of the color or flavor of the wine at all, meaning, in other words, it's not just limited to the third one, like we said in the first braisa. So, v'shal meiser lo'olam mutter, as opposed to a meiser sheni, it'll always be mutter, even the first one, b'fashkus. So, kasha hektish a hektish, kasha meiser a meiser. So you have a contradiction between the two braises as far as hektish, where the first braisa says by hektish, it'll be, where the dregs are hektish, it'll be also up to and including the third time, and mutter after that, according to the Chachamim. Meanwhile, the second braisa is saying it's always osir, and versus meiser sheni, where the first braisa had said that only the second one will be mutter, and the next braisa that we just quoted says that even the first is mutter. So the answer is hektish a hektish like kasha, kan mekdush as a guf, kan mekdush as domin. When it comes to hektish, the answer is that there's two kinds, as we know, there's two kinds of hektish. There can be kedush as domin, where it has monetary kedusha. A person was makdish a barrel of wine to bedek abayis, where the gizborim, the treasurers of hektish, are not going to use the wine itself. What they're going to do is they're going to sell the wine, and use the value of it for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, for the repairs of the Beis Hamikdash. So that's Kedushas Damim versus Kedushas Aguf, where he was makdish the actual wine itself for Nesachim. So then the dregs are still going to be osir outside of Hekdish, because they are part of the wine after all, even though of course the dregs themselves are not going to be poured on the Mizbeach. So the first Braisa is talking about where it has Kedushas Damim, and that's why it's saying that after three times already, then it's Mutter, whereas the second one is talking about Kedushas Aguf. And therefore it's going to be Olam also, as long as it has any color or flavor of wine in it, then we're going to say that it's also. The Ritva actually says that you could argue the other way around. When you makdish kedushas aguf and you want it to be poured on the mizbeach, then you're only including the wine that it's actually going to be poured on the mizbeach, and the dregs are not included in that. It's actually the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Menachos that describes the procedure when a gizbar is buying wine for the Beis Mikdash, that when they're tapping the barrel to get the wine out, as soon as the gizbo notices that dregs are starting to come out, then that's it. They close off the barrel and no more is being poured out, because you don't want any dregs in the wine from the sochin. So the Ritva argues that you could maybe even say the other way around, that when it's just a goof, then we're saying the dregs are not considered to have the same degree of kedusha, because they're not part of the nesachim, as opposed to when it comes to kedushas damim, when they're given to hekdesh, then after all, hekdesh can use the dregs just like it can use anything else. So that's how we reconcile the two things as far as Hekdesh. Maisa and Maisa Nami Lekasha. As far as Maisa Sheni, there's also no contradiction. Kama Maisa Vada, Kama Maisa Jmai, because it depends whether we're talking about something that definitely, where Maisa Sheni definitely has to be given, versus where it's Jmai, where you bought it from an Amma Oretz, and after all, Roy Amma Oretz Ma'ashram Haim, given that most Amma Oretz do take Maisa, and it's only that you have the significant minority that don't, which is why we have the whole concept of Dmai. So by them, we're going to say, since it's only a Chumrah on top of another Chumrah, basically, to say, first of all, the Chumrah in general, that we have to take Maisa Sheni, and second of all, the Chumrah of considering these dregs, what comes out of these dregs, to be like wine, then we're not going to go to that extent, and therefore, even the first time already that you put water on it, then whatever comes out into the water, whatever color and flavor comes out into the water, we're not going to give the dinim a Maisa Sheni. On the other hand, if it was Maisa Vaday, then we're saying that you're going to, because after all, Midaraisa, you did have to take that Maisa Sheni. Since we're talking about Temed, as far as the various possibilities as far between Hekdesh and Truma and Meiser, about to what extent is Temed considered wine. So now let's talk about in terms of the dinim of being Machshel the Kabbal Truma. We know that wine is one of the Shiva Mashkim that's able, when it touches something, then when it touches food, then that food is now susceptible to become Tomei. So the Rashbam points out that actually, there's actually an entire Masechta called Masechta Machshirim that discusses this issue of being Machshel Kabbal Truma. One thing that it establishes over there in the Mishnayos at length over there is that it has to be the water. If when you're talking about water, then it has to be that it was. It has to be that you want it to be there. So it has to be the water itself was removed from its natural place. For example, from a river or a lake or whatever, l'rotza, and that you wanted it to be removed, and that you want it to go on these payers, l'rotza. We learned back in Bava Metzia, because you have the way the Pasuk phrases it implies that, on the one hand, one way of learning the Pasuk implies that no matter what, it's going to be Machshel Kabbal Truma. Another Pasuk implies that it has to be that you have to deliberately place it on there. And the Gemara had explained what it means is it's both. It can be that it went there by itself, for example, that rain fell on it, but it has to be L'Rotza, and it has to be that, it has to be that you wanted it to be there. Now, the Rashbam learns that that's only the case with water, whereas when it comes with when it comes to wine, then you don't have that. Then wine is always going to be makshul kabel truma. That's actually not so simple, and so that's actually not so simple. Whether in fact there is a difference between wine and water in that regard. In fact, Tosfos and a bunch of other Rishonim argue on the Rashbam on that and say there's really no difference. There's really no difference in that regard. In any case, so now we're going to talk about as far as Teved, what the dinim of it are as far as being Machshel the Kabbal Toma. So Amar Rav Yochanan b'Shem Rav Shimon ben Yehoshua, k'derech she'amru le'inyan isuran, kach amru le'inyan hachsheran. Exactly what the Chachamim said as far as the iser of it. That when it comes to Maisa Rishon, you have the first time Temed is considered wine, the second one is water, and with Truma it's the second versus the third, and so on and so forth. Kach Omer le'inyan Hachsheran, the same rule goes as far as being Machshel Kabel Truma. When we say, for example, that with Truma, the first time you put water on it and then draw off that water, and the second time that those are going to be considered wine, that would also apply that it's also wine insofar as being machshel kabel truma. But already the third time would already be considered water. Now again, what's the nafka minna between water and wine in that regard? So that Rashbam explains, because if we consider it wine, then we don't care whether it landed on the food l'rotzen or not, whether you wanted it to land there. Either way, it's going to be machshel kabel truma. As opposed to water, you would need, based on the pasuk that the Gemara talks about in Bava Metzia, you'd have to want that it landed over there. That's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos and many other Rishonim disagree with that and say no, you don't really find that distinction anywhere. So rather, Tosfos talks about, since the Gemara is going to end up saying that we're talking about the Temed was made with rainwater, that rainwater fell into it, so it has to be, in other words, that you really need both. When it comes to Temed made with rainwater, it has to be that you wanted the chlal, you wanted the rain to fall in there and to make it temed, and then afterwards you want that that temed in turn should go and make something else, wet. So in other words, if you go to a well and you draw water, or you turn on the faucet and you get water out of it, that water is obviously the rotzen. You want it to get it out of the well or out of the faucet. So then already it's considered a mashke and it's machshel l'kabel truma. But if, for example, if rain falls on it, then it's going to depend. Did you actually want that rain to fall on it or not? And that's going to depend whether it's machshel l'kabel truma or not. Well, so that's the Gemara asks, Hachshed and Demai, as far as what are you talking about as far as being Machshir? Either water or wine is one of the Shiva Machshim and a Machshir Lekabal Chumma. So what's the difference whether we consider this Temed to be wine or to be water? And the answer is, like Sricha Shekim Demimed Shomim. And the answer is that the temen was made with rainwater. So again, if we consider it, so according to the Rashbam, the distinction is if we consider it water, then we would say it needs to be. Then later on, when it falls on the food, it has to be that you wanted it to be there. And if it's any other liquid, if it's wine, if you consider it wine, then it wouldn't matter. According to Tosfos, rather the vort is that if it's rainwater, then at least you need to begin with that you wanted that rainwater to fall onto the dregs and create temed, and then later on you have, as you would need with any liquid, for it to fall, that you wanted it to fall on the food as well. And yeah, by the way, like I said, in the Sefer Machshirin, you have all kinds of details about that. You have, for example, a case over there, even, let's say a person is bending down to get a drink from a river or a pond, let's say, for example, and he gets the tip of his nose wet. Now that the water that ends up on the tip of his nose is not l'rotzen, he wouldn't have wanted necessarily for his nose to get wet. He just wants to get a drink, and it so happened that that water drips off the tip of his nose and lands on food, it wouldn't be machshir l'kabel truma. There's many, many other examples throughout the Masechta over there. So here you're talking about that there was rainwater, so the rain itself doesn't fall l'rotzen, so it has to be that you had in mind that that you had in mind that that it's going to be considered a mashke. Well, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Shetimdei means that you actually took the rainwater and used it to make temed and poured it on on the dregs. So what do you mean? Kiven dekashokel v'romi v'hulamana. What do you mean? The very fact that you're taking that rainwater now that now you have that rainwater fell on the dregs and moistened them, and now you're later on taking and pouring off that rainwater with the flavor of the wine in it now and pouring it into another container. So clearly, achshavinu, now clearly you're showing that it's choshev to you. So of course it's machshav the kabel choma, whether we consider it wine or water. So again, what's the nafkamina, whether we consider it? And the answer is like tzricha shenitmad me'evav. The answer is that it actually happened all by itself. The rainwater fell in there without you doing anything. So we're not talking about, in other words, that you diverted the rainwater into them, into there or something, but the rainwater fell directly into the keli with the dregs. So now you have temed. So now Rabbi Yechon is telling you it depends. If the temed is going to be considered wine, then it has the dinim of wine. And if not, in the cases where we said before, where it would have the dinim of water, then it's considered water. And again, the nafka mina, according to the Rashbam, would be that if we consider it water, then later on when it falls on food, you have to have in mind, you have to want it to fall on that food to be machshav the kabel choma. And according to Tosfos, the point is that you would have to have, to begin with, you wanted that rainwater to fall into the barrel with the dregs before it can even be considered machshav the kabel.
So it's the rainwater just happened to rain in the area, or it went through the pipe?
No, it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you had set up the pipe deliberately because you want to catch the rainwater, yeah, then that itself is obvious. Yeah, no, we're talking about that it rained and whether there was a pipe there already that had been placed there before or was it directly outside in the rain. It doesn't really matter, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, what happens? Every time the keli is full, then he pours it off, and that itself, achshavinu, that also shows that he was machshav the liquid. So again, either way then, it comes out that it's l'rotzen. So again, why should it matter whether it's wine or water? The point is, again, we started with Rabbi Yochanan saying that the same dinim that applies as far as Isser, when we say, for example, with Truma, that the second time Temed is still considered wine, but the third time already is considered water, the same thing is going to be as far as Hechshel the Kabel Truma. So we're trying to figure out where is there a case where there's going to be a difference in that regard between wine and water. We would say if it's wine, then it has one din, and if it has water, it has a different din. So far, it seems, no matter what, fine. Even you have it was made with rainwater, but eventually, though, you go and pour it off into a keli as it starts getting full. That itself shows that you're machshav it, that you wanted it, that it's l'rotzen. And the answer is Amar Papa, the Parah Sheshoseh Rishon Rishon. Because let's say you have that there's a cow there, and every time the keli starts getting full, then the cow drinks from it. So now you weren't involved at all. You weren't involved in the dregs getting water in them in the first place because the water is from rain, and you're not pouring anything off because the cow is drinking from it. Now, the Rashbam points out the reason why we have to bring in a cow. Why can't we just say that every time it's spilled over? The reason is because then we wouldn't know the difference between Rishon and Sheni. At what point would you draw the line that up till here is Rishon and up till here is Sheni and so forth? If it's spilled, the cow drank, right. So each time the keli, so you have a keli with dregs over there that you left out and it got full of rain. It becomes full of rain and now the cow goes and drinks it and then it refills with rain and again the cow drinks it and so forth. So therefore, I guess it liked the taste. So again, the question is going to be now ultimately, whether that wine is let's say for example now if some of that water were to drip off the cow's mouth for example and go on the peiros, would it be machshav the kabel truma? So that's we need to know whether it's considered wine or whether it's considered water.
And we said that for the third time then.
So with truma we said the third time already it's not considered wine anymore. With hektish we said even the third time it is, and with Maisa Sheni we said even after the first time it's not. Only the first time it is.
Which one?
So we said Midaraisa, none of them. So all of this was said, well, so the Rashbam had learned again at the beginning that we're talking about you put what?
mentioned earlier.
No, so we said that within Maisa Sheni itself, you can distinguish between Daraisa and Darabanan, that when it's Darabanan, when it's Maisa Sheni of Dmai, then you can be even more lenient and say that even the first time wouldn't be considered wine. But in addition, again, that Ashban had said at the beginning that we're talking about over here, even where you didn't get any more liquid out than what you put in to begin with. You put in three measures of water, you got out three measures of water, but they have a flavor and a color of wine. And nevertheless, Midrabanan was still going to put the schumra on them and say that's considered wine. Again, Tosfos had talked about that we're talking about you got more than three out, but it doesn't really have a flavor of wine so much as just like a kuha ba'alma, just like a little bit of a taste of notes or whatever of wine. And nevertheless, when it comes to hektish and truma and so forth, we're going to be machmer. Next, here's another place in halacha where we need to know whether something is wine or not, namely as far as kiddush. So let's talk about as far as kiddush. Omer of Zutra Batuvia Omer Rav Ein Omer Kiddush Hayom Ela Al Yain Haroy Lenasa Chagabe Abizbeah. We can only say kiddush of Shabbos only on wine that's suitable to be poured on the mizbeah. So in other words, it has to be something that's hagofen, of course, but in addition, it has to be suitable to pour on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, l'mo'uti mah, well, as opposed to what? Ilein l'mo'uti yayin migitoi, do you mean that you can't use for kiddush wine that was just newly squeezed, which hasn't yet fermented, grape juice, in other words? Why? Which, in fact, you can't use that for nesachim. V'hatani Rav Chia. Didn't Rav Chia teach in Braisa, yayin migitoi lo yavi? You're not supposed to, l'chatchila, use yayin migitoi for nesachim. V'im hevi kosher. But if you did, then b'dievet, it's kosher. The gas, gimel saf, is the vat in which you press wine. So yayin migito means wine fresh from the vat where it hasn't fermented yet. In halacha, we consider that it takes 40 days for wine to ferment. Now the pasuk says, "Makodesh hasech nesech shecher." You have to pour a libation of shecher, which means something that's capable of making drunk, malosh and shikr. But nevertheless, Rav Chia is saying that b'dieved, the pasuk is not saying it must be that way; it should be that way l'chatchila. But hasech nesech, no matter what, then you are yotze. The kibbutzim heavy kosher. So then, given that if you use it for nesachim b'dieved it's kosher, anan. So then, we want to use it for kiddush after l'chatchila nami. Then it should work even l'chatchila. So of Zutra Batruvia can't mean to exclude freshly squeezed grape juice from being used for kiddush. And in fact, the Amar Rava, as in fact Rava says, Seichet Adam Eshkol Shalanavim, a person would be allowed to, before Shabbos, squeeze out a bunch of grapes, the Omer of Kiddush Hayom, and use that for kiddush.
As the Shefer, no?
That's the thing. No, so we're saying by Kiddush, we're saying it doesn't have to be Sheikha. That's what I asked. Given that even by Korbanus, L'chatchila, it has to be Sheikha, but the Dieved, it can be, it's kosher. Even if not, then by Kiddush, not only, in other words, you're going to say that, you're going to say, you know, so, in other words, the flow of the Gemara is like this, that Ashbam explains. You're saying that you firstly thought that you can't use grape juice for Nesachim. We're saying you could, the Dieved. Given that you can use it b'dieved for nesachim, logically we should be able to use it l'chatchila for kiddush. And you want to argue maybe not, maybe after all, at least you shouldn't use it l'chatchila. No, comes Rava and tells you could do it even l'chatchila. You could squeeze a cluster of grapes and use it for kiddush hayom. He's not saying im sochat or something like that, which would imply b'dieved. He's using a loshen of l'chatchila. So therefore, it's l'chatchila you'd be able to use such wine. The elul ma'uti mipio mishuleha. So you're going to say that maybe Rav Zutra Batovia's statement comes to tell us, as far as wine, that you shouldn't use the wine that's near the top of the barrel or that's near the bottom of the barrel. because on the top of the barrel, sometimes you have there's things that float on the top. Not so much shmorim. Shmorim are the dregs. Those go to the bottom. But you have certain kinds of stuff that the Gemara calls them kmochim. Literally means flour-like particles. It probably means like mold or something. I don't know. But whatever, that tend to float to the top. When it comes to nesachim, again, you have very strict rules about what kind of wine is bought by Hekdesh to use for nesachim. There's a Mishnah in Menachos that mentions the details about it, and it mentions that you would never use the wine from the top or from the top or the bottom of the barrel, because it's going to have kmochim on the top. It's going to have shmorim dregs on the bottom.
Is it put through a filter?
So what they would do is actually they would make a hole in the side of the barrel, and they would only, the gizbo would buy only the wine from like the middle third of the barrel, approximately, the Mishnah is described over there. So you're going to say that maybe that's what Rav Zutra Bar Tovia means, that you can't use wine from the top or the bottom of the barrel. No, again, Rav Chiya says when it comes to Nesachin, you shouldn't use the wine from the top or the bottom of the barrel, v'im hevi kosher. But if you did, then b'di'evit it would be kosher. So again, so what is Rav Zutra coming to exclude? So the Ella, the Ma'uti, so now we're going to say that maybe he's talking about different qualities of wine that you can't use. Yayin Kushi. Maybe he means, for example, that you can't use black wine, dark wine, Kushi, like the color of a black, like the color of a black person, or Boirik, or that you can't use wine which is Boirik, which is a bad quality white wine. The word Boirik means a flash of light. So therefore, so Boirik would mean a whitish kind of wine. So there is a different girsa. There is a different girsa, boidek, which means like a wine which is a boidek is called a guf, that Ramban explains. Like it's a low quality wine where like you drink it and like it examines and it causes hardship to the entire body because it's not very good wine. Hil Yastern, and then you have also maybe you're coming to be Mamai wine that Hil Yastern, the word Helios is Greek, or is the Greek word for the sun, so Hil Yastern means that it became sweetened by the sun. When grapes grow, any fruit grows, and the sun creates sugars in them, it turns the starches into sugars. What you have is when you have that the wine was left out in the sun, and then therefore that turns more of it into sugar and less of it into alcohol. So now you have it's a Swedish wine. It's like oversweet and not alcoholic enough. Tosfos elsewhere explains it can mean that the grapes themselves were growing under sunlight too much, and therefore they became oversweet. So that's not such a good quality wine. In other words, summarizes that Hilyastin, Yayin Mosik for Cholosh Ma'od. It's sweet, but very weak. Because basically, you have the sugars in it are turned into alcohol. So now you have more sugar and less alcohol. So that's Hilyastin. Shel Martif, or wine that comes from a wine cellar, whereas we learned before is that you don't always check it, and some of it could be kosisos, etc. Shel Tzimukim, or another possibility is that maybe he's coming to tell us that you can't use raisin wine for Kiddush. So all of those, again, Rahatanya, Bakulam Layavi, but again, we learn a Braisa, none of those should be brought from the Sochem Lachachila, Vim Hevi Kosher, but if he did, then B'dievet it's Kosher. So again, given that B'dievet they're Kosher for Nesachim, then for Kiddush, at least you should be able to use it. So what do you mean? Ein Omen Kiddush Hayoim, Ella, on wine that's Roy Lanasa, Hagabe Amazbeach, but B'dievet you could use any of these that we just mentioned, the Kushi or Borit and so forth, you could use them B'dievet for Nesachim. As far as Boret, by the way, the Rishonim do draw a distinction between, well, the Gemara actually is going to mention further on, as far as white wine, there's a difference between whether it's naturally white or whether it lost its color over time because it's spoiling or whatever. The Elul Mu'uta Yayin Kosis, so you're going to tell me that Rav Zutra wants to tell us that you can't use wine which is kosis, whereas we learned before means that it smells of vinegar even though it still tastes like wine. Kosis, mozug, or where it's blended with water, and there you can't use it for nesachim. And then you're going to say you can't use it for Kiddush either if it's blended with water, Megula, or if it was left uncovered and you have the concern throughout Shas that a snake might have drunk from it, the Shal Shmarim, or you get it by, or Temed that you make by pouring water, what you make by pouring water onto the dregs, like we learned in the previous Sugya, the Sharechera, or where it smells bad, which could be, for example, because, so the Rashbam just says it smells bad, it still has a taste of wine. We're sure to explain, for example, it was placed in a dirty keli, so it absorbed some of the smell from the keli, but nevertheless, it still has basically the taste of wine. Ditanya, where in fact you learn in a braisa, the kulam noyavi, all of that last category that we mentioned, kosis, mazug, etc., you can't use for nesachim, the imhevi posel, and if you did, even the dievet is posel. Okay, so then fine. So you would say that it means that you can't use them for Kiddush either. But which one does Rav Zutra actually have to tell us about? Let's consider as far as Kiddush. Elam Orti Kosis. If you're going to tell me he wants to exclude Kosis, not so. Plukta did Rav Yochanan and Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Because before on Daf Tzadik Vav, we had the Machloikas of Rav Yochanan and Rav Yeshua ben Levi, whether it's still considered wine, where according to Rav Yochanan, even though it already smells like vinegar, but because it still tastes like wine, Rav Yochanan still considered it to be wine, you make Bera Priya Gofan on it, so then you ought to be able to make Kiddush on it. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, you would anyway say Shakol on it, because he already says you go according to the smell, and since it smells like vinegar, then he already considered it Shakol, as we learned yesterday. Because we said over there, because he considers that the smell is more important than the taste. Sure. But also we said in the Gemara over there, because he says that when wine starts turning, it starts turning from the bottom of the barrel, and therefore even you're drinking from the top, it means, in other words, it just hasn't finished, it hasn't finished spoiling yet, but it's on the verge of it. We had in the Gemara over there, the Dejoy Mori, the Chachamim of the south of Eretz Yisrael, who learned Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi differently. But anyway, at least the first version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that the smell is the more important, and he says that it's considered vinegar. Well, then of course you can't make Kiddush on it. So how can Rav Zutra tell us as a blanket statement that anything you can't use for Nesachim, you can't use for Kiddush? Well, it really depends. Yes, it's true you can't use Yayin Kosis for Nesachim, but as far as Kiddush, it's really going to depend on the Machloikas of Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, whether it's considered wine or not. So, you're going to tell me that Rav Zutra wants to tell us that you can't use wine that was mixed with water, which, as we just said, if you mix the wine with water, then it's possible for Nesachim. But on the contrary, when it comes to Kiddush, putting in water improves it.
That's only if it needs it.
So, well, that's yeah. That's what we're talking about. In those days, wines usually needed it. And by the way, the Rashbam points out, as far as when the Gemara was saying that, as far as Yayin Kosis, where again you have the Machloikas, that given that Rabbi Yochanan considers it to be wine as far as Truma, then yeah, we would say that as far as Kiddush as well. Now, it is true. We do have, like Kiddush, you do have the consideration, the Gemara is going to point out further on, Hakrivehu Nola Fechasecha. You do have a concept based on a posik in Malachi, that you have to have. You're offering something to Hashem. It has to be good stuff. It can't be, like the posik says, imagine you offered this kind of substandard thing to your governor. Would he accept it? Hashem deserves no less respect. So fine, you do have that consideration, but still, that would be, we're going to talk about later on, where, for example, where the wine smells bad. That wouldn't apply, for example, where it's kosis, where it's not so much that it smells bad because it was in a dirty keli, for example, but just because it's beginning to turn. On the face of it, if Rabbi Yochanan considers it wine, then as far as the dinim of Truma, then he should also consider it wine as far as Kiddush. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says that it's vinegar even as far as Truma, is going to say it's vinegar as far as Kiddush. So it can't be that. Even Ma'uti Mozu, you're going to tell me that we're excluding wine that was mixed with water. On the contrary, Aluya Alya, on the contrary, when it comes to Kiddush, that's improving it. The Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Eliezer, where they're arguing as far as the Nesachim, where we just said before, that by wine that was mixed with water is possible for the Nesachim, but the Rashbam says, apparently the Chachamim disagree and say that it would actually be kosher. For Nesachim b'di'evin. So, however, the Rashbam says, I don't know where they're actually arguing on that. Tosfos says, we're learning like this. You have a Gemara in Brachas that says, Rabbi Eliezer says, you don't make a bracha in general on wine unless you put water in it. This is according to Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara explains over there, that's talking about when it comes to kosher bracha, then the Chachamim agree you have to put water in it because you want mitzvah and amuvcha for kosher bracha, and it's not going to be so good without wine in it, without water in it. So therefore, so that would be the machlokas. So, the Omer Rabbi Yosef Rechamin, and Murdim Chachamim Rabbi Eliezer for kosher bracha, she'in mevorchen olav, you don't say a bracha on it, ad she'yitim l'seichem mayim, until you put water into it, because otherwise it's not really good to drink. Yes, you're mentioning that would only apply to wine that's improved by water. Of course, yeah, Rashbam mentions that point. We're not talking about wines in later times. We're talking about what we were learning previously, that the water has to be mixed with three or four, that the wine has to be mixed with three or four parts water in order to be drinkable. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Tosfos actually discusses, is that so, given that there's a Gemara also in Brachas that says that the kosher bracha is supposed to be chai, and one possibility that chai means raw wine, undiluted. So Tosfos says, no, it can mean that the cup has to be chai, it has to be whole and not broken, or it means that to begin with you put in the wine undiluted, and then when you get to a certain point in benching, then you dilute it, in particular during the bracha no delacha, because since that bracha talks about the praise that Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, at that point is when you should put in water to show, look how good the wine of Eretz Yisrael is, that we have to dilute it. Anyway, Zutra cannot be referring on the face of it to when water is mixed in, because on the contrary, for kosher bracha, it's better that way. That's how it's supposed to be. You're going to say that he's excluding wine that was left uncovered. Of course, sakonahi, it's a danger to drink it because a snake might have drunk from it. So of course you can't use it for Kiddush. Never mind Kiddush, you can't drink it at all. And if you're talking about wine that was made from dregs, heichigami, well, how much did you get out? Either rama tilsav plus of asaba, if you put in three measures of water and you got four, chamra mal yehu, then as we said previously, that's considered full-fledged wine. Why shouldn't you be able to make Kiddush on it? And if you put in three and got three and a half, then as we learned yesterday, then that would be subject to a machlokas of the Chachamim and the Acherim. We know the halacha is like the Chachamim, so therefore that's not considered wine because it doesn't have enough of a percentage of wine in it. The percentage of wine in the mixture is less than 1/6, and therefore it's not considered wine in halacha. So of course you can't make Kiddush on it. Rather, we can say that Zutra Bat Trovia is coming to exclude wine that smells bad, because, for example, it was put in a dirty keli. So even though, we're saying because you can't use it for Nesachim, therefore you also can't use it, therefore you can't use it for Kiddush. The Boy Samuel Olam Magula, or you could even answer that it is talking about wine that was left uncovered. Then the reason is going to be, as the Gemara is going to quote in a couple of lines, Rashbam has it over here as well, it's also Hakrivehu Nolafechasecha. It's one of those things. You wouldn't offer such smelly wine to a governor. You certainly shouldn't be offering it to Hashem for Kiddush. So, Boy Pragofen, you would say on it, because it does smell and taste like wine. It just has an off smell because of the keli that it was placed in. But nevertheless, you can't say Kiddush on it because the wine has to be good to pour on the Mizbeach. So again, for example, Yayin Koisis and so forth, and that's one thing. But here we have its Niyustik because it smells bad because of the dirty Keli. So therefore, already Hakrivehu Nolafech HaSecha comes in. In other words, the point is, when it comes to Yayin Koisis, for example, it's not that there's anything intrinsically wrong with it. It's not the best quality wine, but if that's all you have, you might even offer it Lefech HaSecha, and he might accept it graciously. But you would never offer him wine that smells bad, and therefore you can't use it for Kiddush either. So that's one answer. The other answer is, again, that we're talking about lo'olam lo'otim megula. We're talking about even it was left uncovered. Now, Rav Nechemya holds elsewhere in Shas that even you have wine that was left out uncovered and a snake might have drunk from it and injected venom, Rav Nechemya says you can strain it out. And if there's any venom in it, it'll get strained out. So even according to him, nevertheless, you would never offer such a thing to a governor, he would never accept it from you, so the same way you can't use it for Kiddush either. So now, one point is, Tosfos makes the point, what about, for example, the Gemara has not discussed over here the whole question of Yayin Mevushel, cooked wine. So so can you, first of all, do you even have, Tosfos says, maybe even it wouldn't be considered wine, b'chlal, maybe you wouldn't even say Hagofen on it, and you certainly couldn't make Kiddush on it. So Tosfos says that, so Tosfos brings, in fact, that Rashi and Rabbeinu Shimshin hold, in fact, that, yeah, you would say Shakol on Yayin Mevushel. But Tosfos says not. No, you would say Hagofen on it, and you could, in fact, make Kiddush on it. The Rambam also, when he discusses these halachas, he discusses, for example, Mevushel, for example, wine that had other ingredients mixed into it, like honey or whatever. You can't use such things for Nesachim. So does that mean you can't make Kiddush on them either? The Rambam holds primarily yes, although he says, Yesh Oimrim, he says that all the Gemara is saying of it is when it's bad quality, then you can't use it for Kiddush. We're not talking about, for example, where you put in, let's say, honey or other ingredients like that makes it more flavorful, maybe Adarab, but that should be fine. Fine, you can't use it for Nesachim because of a different consideration. But that doesn't mean it should be possible for Kiddush. The Poskim mostly agree with that second opinion, and therefore, so it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. You have Rishonim, such as the Rambam will hold, you shouldn't use Yayin Mevushel, but the consensus of Poskim is not like that, and you can, in fact, use that for Kiddush, and of course, Maisim B'chol Yom, that people do, especially when they have people at their table who are not Shema Shabbos yet. All right, to finish off, Bomine Rav Kahana Chamur de Mashaushi Amir Rava, Rav Kahana, the father-in-law of Rav Mashaushi, asked Rava, Chamar Chivaryan Mahu, are you allowed to use white wine for Kiddush? Now, are you allowed to use white wine? So the Rashbam says two possibilities. He might be asking about as far as the Sochim. He might be asking about for Kiddush. So the Rashbam prefers the first explanation, that the question is as far as can you use it for the Sochim. The Rashbam also adds that this is, we just learned before about Borek. We said we had a list over there of inferior kinds of wines, and one of them was Borek, which is white wine. So the Rashbam says, okay, Rav Kahana had not heard of that Braisa, so therefore he wasn't aware of that. Tosfos says, no, the difference is that, again, Chivaryon is very, very white. Borek is whitish, but at least it's got a reddish color, as opposed to Chivaryon would be completely white. Other Rishonim draw the distinction that maybe Chivaryon is where it actually it's so old that it's lost its color, basically. Omalei al tera yayin ki is adam. So he answers him with a pasuk. The pasuk says, don't look at wine and try to say, I want to drink it, because it's red, implying, in other words, that real wine has to be red. So in other words, red wine is preferable for the Nesachim. It doesn't necessarily mean that it would be possible if it's white wine, but at least the preferable thing is to have red. Rishonim disagree, actually. What does he mean by that? Does he mean that b'dieved it would be possible for Nesachim or not? And again, that affects the question of whether you can use it for Kiddush or not. Maisa, that people do use white wine for Kiddush, although again, it does bring in Shulchan Aruch in general, you should use the best wine that you can for Kiddush, based on the Gemara over here, and that means in particular that it should be red rather than white, preferably. We said one more thing in the Mishnah. We said after we mentioned the Mishnah about when you sell wine and you have the 10 kosis per 100, which led us into this whole discussion over the last couple of dafim of the quality of wine. The Mishnah mentioned another example where you're selling something in bulk and the buyer has to be ready to accept that a certain percentage of them are not going to be so good. So we said, kankanim b'sharon, we said in the Mishnah that if you're selling him empty barrels in sharon, in the area of a certain area of Eretz Yisrael, then he has to be willing to accept that out of the 100, 10 of them are going to be pitosos, which are bad quality, poor quality containers. Tana, we learn in a braisa, pitosos nois gufores. They can be poorer quality, but it doesn't mean that literally they're breaking apart. There's no reason you should have to accept any of them. They are nice. They are nicely made, like the other pots or containers or whatever that come from the shardine, and they're treated with sulfur, which helps. Even if they're a little bit cracked, the sulfur helps hold the cracks together. So you can use them. They just won't last as long. So therefore, he has to be willing to accept 10 out of every 100 of them. And the Rashbam also brings from Rabbeinu Hanan, as a girsa, that if you have any more than that, then he has to return the rest of them, and he can get refunded from that. So it would mean, in other words, again, that up till 10, then he has to accept that. Any more than that, then he's entitled to, now you can't say, now we did learn before about when it comes to dirt mixed into payrus, you have the whole thing of, is there a tircha to take it out, and he put in the tircha, and therefore is he entitled to all of that? Here, you don't really have that, because barrels are barrels, everyone is individual. So therefore, say you don't, he's not necessarily entitled to a refund of all the extra ones, but he is. If he finds, let's say, 11 of them are these pitosas, then he's entitled to a refund for that one.